It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
Okay, Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio today. Welcome again to the show. We're glad you've chosen to join us. So, again, we're continuing our live broadcast from beautiful Orlando, Florida, where we're at Velocity 2019. Goodness gracious, it's been a long day of supply chain best practice sharing. Velocity 2019, the forum to learn about solutions, strategies that will help you accelerate your digital supply chain. And you can learn more at velocity-conference.com. We've been chatting with a variety of supply chain leaders today, and this is the first segment of our third episode here at Velocity. So let's welcome our guest for this segment, Mark Balti, Executive Vice President for Research and Development at Logility.
Great.
Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's been a great conference so far.
It really has. We've had a lot of good feedback, both from the interviews themselves and all the sidebar conversations, and it's hard to believe we're almost finished up day two of Velocity 2019. Yeah. So now, where did you travel in to Orlando from Atlanta?
From Atlanta, Georgia. I'm a native of Atlanta, Georgia, born and raised there.
And as we were sharing our Braves experiences before we went live here, and also you're a big soccer fan, football fan.
I am big football fan. So as we were talking offline, I've been playing soccer since I was about 5 or 6 years old. Witnessed the first Atlanta championship in 1969 with the Atlanta Chiefs.
Wow.
The Chiefs lived near my house, and my dad was one of the first coaches in the city of Atlanta. They would come to our practices and help teach him how to coach soccer.
Wow.
And we used to go to the games and get in the clubhouses. And the irony of this is the team I'm most passionate about is a team called Aston Villa. They play in England. They're in the championship. They've been relegated, unfortunately. But a lot of the Atlanta Chiefs, the original Chiefs, came from Aston Villa. Mm. And so they had friendlies, and we got to go in the locker room and meet the players.
Wow. What a neat story and neat roots there. Mm-hmm. And of course, we talked briefly about the Atlanta United, and not that we're going to dive into a soccer hour, but it's really neat to see what's going on as the sport continues to catch fire here in the U.S. And, of course, our 6-year-old son is embracing, I think he had, 7 goals the other day?
All right, 7 goals.
he takes after his mom, not his dad. So anyway. Well, here's a trivia question for you, Mark. So do you remember what episode number you appeared on as part of Supply Chain Now Radio?
I do not.
Okay. So episode 8.
Okay.
And this week we're probably producing 4 or 5 episodes. Last week we just produced episode 60, and you appeared on episode 8 with Rob Dillon, who was at that time chair of the 2018 Georgia Logistics Summit Executive Committee.
Yep.
So really neat. We call you an early adopter, so
there
thanks so much.
Oh,
Mark.
I enjoyed it. Appreciate me having back.
Well, glad to have you back, and of course glad to be here with Logility and all your other organizations that host Velocity 2019. So before we talk more about Logility and what y'all do, tell us more about yourself and your journey.
Sure. So I've been actually with Logility American Software for 35 years. Mm. I out of college, graduated with a math degree. And while I was going to Georgia Tech and getting my master's in operations research, I started working at the company, then moved into the sales side of the organization, and then moved into an implementation role where we went out and implemented the supply chain systems and materials management systems to Fortune 1000 companies. And I was more interested in how do I build products to support this. And I kind of engineer at heart. I like to do home projects and build things, and so I almost vision the supply chain software the same way, as an opportunity to see the trends that are occurring in the industry, work with our partners and our customers to add enhancements, and I eventually moved into my Executive Vice President of Research and Development role and support all of our products.
Mm. And constantly innovating those
Always
products.
Innovating. You have to stay on top of the trends, and we're seeing the supply chain, probably, in my opinion, one of the biggest innovation levels and transformation levels that we've ever seen. And part of what the communicating I've been having here at this conference is you have to begin transforming your supply chain, and you have to do it by a 10X factor.
Jeez. Well, if there's been one common theme through all the interviews we've had, lately, but also certainly today, is that rate of change and how fast, you know, it's one of the earlier speakers, I can't remember who shared, but they were talking about Alan Dow,
right,
and how he showed the pit stop, and how I think what the old standard was 67 seconds, the new standard less than 2 seconds, and how he was talking about how you're not expected to go from 67 to 62 seconds to 59, not incremental. It is 2 seconds,
right,
and today.
And the Amazon effect's there.
That's right.
Right. And if I can't deliver to my customers and my consumers, you might not be around anymore.
That's right. You're going to be tough to compete. And, you know, there was the Wall Street Journal put out a really neat article. I haven't read it top to bottom yet, but from 7 or 8 insiders that experienced the Sears story and unfortunately, a tragedy, really.
Yes.
And I think the name of the article is that basically, you know, 5 years from now, no one's going to remember Sears even existed. And, of course, we all know the huge impact and the major player that it was for decades.
Correct.
And so that's lots of lessons to be learned there, I think, to your point.
And at one point in time, they probably had the most innovative supply chain around.
Mm. So, but we can learn from those lessons and be better companies and stronger professionals. So let's talk more about Legility.
Okay.
So tell us about some of the things you're doing to help companies strengthen their supply chains.
So obviously we're a supply chain software company. We go from demand planning to inventory to multi-echelon inventory planning to optimize supply. So we're actually optimizing that demand to supply translation. We have some manufacturing planning optimization. And into the retail optimization, we're doing allocations, assortment, and some merchandise planning. We do a multi-echelon. We support an N-tier network where we can model. I think one of the trends I'm seeing is the ability to model not just your supply chain, but your supplier's supply chain and maybe your supplier's supplier, so that you can react to issues that are occurring in the supply chain. Mm. And you have to have, you know, optimization machine learning techniques to allow for new product introductions, some strategic planning, some very volatile products. You know, you go back to the soccer or football kits and a player gets traded to another team or sold, you know, those kits are going to go through the roof on that new team.
Absolutely. So, and Malcolm on the Supply Chain Now Radio research team just sent me a note. Mike Griswold with Gartner is who was talking about Alan Dow's presentation. Clearly it was well received. And, and I'm going to go back and find those YouTube clips because I think it's such a powerful visual.
Oh, it is.
In terms of rate of change.
And when you watch it, it's agonizing. It's the 67 seconds in the 1950s. You're like, can you get the tire off faster? Come on.
So let's talk about Legility recently released Voyager PulseWise. So tell me, you know, in layman's terms, what is it and why is that important?
So we're really excited about the 1901 release in general, and in particular the PulseWise capabilities. And we have customers who may be planning 10 million plus SKUs. And we go through a machine learning algorithm that determines what's the proper model, demand models for each SKU. And now we have the ability within that model, so let's assume we have a seasonal model. There's a bunch of parameters that you need to tune. And we now have the ability to use machine learning techniques where we're, for each record, 10 million records in this example, we can configure in all the levers you have for the parameters you set per record. So we're seeing tremendous in early adoption, tremendous results in the improvement in accuracy, which obviously the better we can predict, the better we are with the, you know, the supply chain resiliency. And this is something that will run continuously. So we start thinking about the transformation. There's also a transformation with our customers and our planners. And, you know, that they're going to have to trust that the system is coming up with the most optimal parameter set by record, because I can't tell you how many planners it would take to optimize 10 million records.
Wow.
Right. And by the time they got through 2 or 3 of them, it's changed. So,
so you know, we didn't talk about this in the warm up, but with you said a seasonal model, and it made me think of peak season 2018. Any key takeaways from last peak season that you know, key lessons learned?
So we've seen some changes, and we've adopted some newer models as well to how help out with some of the peak seasons and some of the troughs, some of the cannibalization we might see with, with certain items taken off. The other thing that we're learning with machine learning is, as we all know, as planners, we put some bias into the system.
Just a little bit.
And the machines don't have bias. and they'll find things that don't, to us as a human, don't make sense. But they achieve optimality.
So you mentioned machine learning. What other supply chain trends are on your radar that you're tracking now more so than others?
Another one I've talked about a good bit here is the digital twin. We go through when we model our supply chain. It's modeling your physical supply chain. And companies will go through and they're very diligent about what the costs are, what the lane lead times are, what the lane costs, how much I can put on a vehicle or barge or a container. And what's the production rate that's on my manufacturing or my suppliers? But now with the additional data that we have at our exposure today, whether it be internal or external data, whether it be sensor data, if you think about all the sensor information we have on our plants, we want to bring that in and perform analytics and update our model with that actual information, you know. And we're seeing, again, early adopters, much more predictability in the plan. Where, you know, nothing against people who are giving us the information before, but a lot of times their best guesses are tribal knowledge.
Sure.
I think I can produce 10,000 jerseys in an hour, and we find out it's less than that, and all of a sudden your plans are a little bit out of whack. So I think with the digital twin in place, then you have a platform to apply machine learning techniques and artificial intelligence and so forth.
You mentioned sensors, and we talked with Ann Gracken this morning. We were talking a little bit about some of the clothing retailers that were putting sensors into boots and coats and collecting usage data and analytics, really. That is such a really neat concept.
It is.
And you're getting so close to, you know, how things are literally, I mean, in the most accurate definition of that term, being used.
Yes.
And then factoring that into how you design it, probably how you sell it, how you, you know.
When it might wear out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
If
I'm wearing my shoes every day, I can do some analytics to know when they might wear out, and therefore I might want to be planning on stocking the shelves with that same type of shoe.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, anything else before we move on to talking a little more about the Velocity Conference? Any other trends that you're keeping your finger on right now?
Another trend I'm keeping my finger on is we call multi-horizon planning. And going back to that digital twin, you have it. Companies are always having some strategic planning occurring, mid to short-term planning occurring, and execution planning. And we feel it's important that those three planning phases need to be working in conjunction with each other. They need to be planning off the same set of data, and then we can apply some algorithms so that we can learn over time. So I have a strategic plan, and we want to learn where we may have had issues in that plan, and when we move into an S&OP process or into the execution phase.
Well, there's a lot to keep tabs on.
There is.
There is such a lot. But, you know, so some of the common threads we've had in recent conversations is, you know, while technology and supply chain innovation, that gets a lot of the attention, part of the majority of the attention, certainly the majority of investment dollars.
Right.
And, you know, that's the shiny object. Still, you've got to have the blocking and tackling, the traditional things you've got to do that to make supply chain successful. And while, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces in the 2019 supply chain, but still, you've got to put a plan together.
You've
got to know your customer and know what they want today and or maybe this hour. There's certain things that have to be done. Can you speak more to that versus or that balance maybe between technology and tried and true?
Yeah, as I was talking about yesterday in my opening session, where we have I've talked about continuous planning and letting the system create these parameters for you. They're going to be more accurate, but what it's doing is it's freeing that planner up to put insights into the plan, because the planner knows what some of the business goals are, and they can begin running risk analysis against the plan. What's my demand to supply translation? How resilient is my supply chain? Freeze them up to do more strategic, in my opinion, activities to ensure that we're in response mode to when we do have supply chain hiccups.
Yep. I think that's a great example hearing you say that, where it frees up the time of these supply chain professionals to do more strategic and other duties and responsibilities. I think that's a good illustration of how technology isn't necessarily replacing jobs.
No, it's not.
But it's creating new opportunities for advancement for folks that are willing to learn and advance up through the ranks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Cobots is a term that's been out there. Augmented intelligence. There's all kinds of different ways, I think, if you really look and you don't want to just buy into some of the surface level stuff right. we're hearing about. It's really enabling folks to succeed in supply chain and progress it through their careers. So let's shift gears a second. So Velocity Conference, and you've been to plenty of Velocity conferences,
everyone.
Right? They started in 1985, I want to say.
Correct.
Bill Harrison had shared that date with me earlier because Fred Tolbert has not missed one yet, which is really neat. This week, y'all had speakers from Aaron's, Briggs & Stratton, Johnson Controls, Cooper Vision, Coca-Cola. I mean, you've had a bunch of heavy hitters here that I'm assuming y'all do work with most of these world-class leaders. But they're also here sharing their learnings, in some cases, very frankly and authentically, and sharing the good, the bad, and the ugly, which helps everybody here.
It does. It does. Big shout-out to the customers because it's with that collaboration we have with them. I thank them for what the collaboration we've had before because that they're helping us drive the innovation into the product. And they're giving us more information this week that we will use and leverage as we drive into the product. And then they collaborate with each other. They talk to each other, share stories. It was interesting. I just got out of the executive roundtable and the question was, is anybody using the droids?
Drones.
And got Star Wars on my head.
And, I do too, yeah, our kids.
And somebody spoke up and said, well, we're thinking about putting them in our warehouse. And another person spoke up and says, they have drones in their warehouse that do flybys, and they can identify empty bins very quickly, and it'll pay for itself. Mm. And it's just something it was a very simple 30-second conversation that these other companies have been able to pick up and leverage and go back home and, put together a proposal and explore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Raising the bar. Well, so beyond Velocity Conference, what other trade shows are on your...
So I'll be attending the Gartner Conference in May.
Phoenix?
Phoenix, yep. That's the current one, and I'll be visiting with some analysts over the summer or early fall.
Fantastic. And how can listeners get in touch with you or learn more about Legility?
They can look at Legility, www.legility.com, and if they want to get in touch with me personally, it's M. Balte, it's B as in boy, A-L-T-E, at Legility.com.
Or they can come check out Atlanta United game.
Exactly. I'll be happy to attend a game with them.
And your favorite team?
Aston Villa is my favorite team.
Aston Villa, okay. Yep. Fantastic. Well, Mark Balte, Executive Vice President for R&D at Legility, thanks so much for joining
us
here today. Thanks for having Supply Chain Now Radio here. We've really enjoyed our day one, which I know is day two of the Velocity Conference, but looking forward to a strong finish today and then a big day of it tomorrow. So
fantastic.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, so to our listeners, stay tuned as we'll be continuing to interview a variety of supply chain leaders like Mark as Supply Chain Now Radio continues its coverage of the Velocity Conference 2019 here in Orlando. You can find all of our interviews at supplychainnowradio.com. iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Podcasts, soon to be Stitcher in the next few days. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you again on the next segment. All right, Scott Luton here with you again live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome back to the show. Today we're broadcasting live from beautiful Orlando, Florida, as we continue our coverage of Velocity 2019, one of the rock and roll supply chain trade shows that you can't miss each year. We've been chatting with a variety of supply chain leaders today. This is the second segment of our third episode here at Velocity. Holy cow, it's been quite a day, today is day two of Velocity 2019. So let's welcome this segment's featured guest, Mark Burstein, president for NGC. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Scott. How are you?
We're glad to have you here. Good to meet you this morning, and glad to have you sit down with us for an interview this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
So now, where did you travel into Orlando from?
I drove up from Miami Beach, where I live on the weekends.
Okay. And when you're not there, we were talking a second ago, where can we find you?
New York, L.A., D.C., Boston, Chicago, Dallas, Hong Kong, Paris, wherever business calls.
Saving the world's supply chains one at a time, right?
You got it.
So before we dive into NGC, tell us more about yourself and your journey.
So I went to University of Florida. From there, I went to Emory for my graduate degree, and I started working for Anderson Consulting, which is now called Accenture. Mm-hmm. And I was working 120 hours a week, and my dad started a lingerie company. And he called me up. I'm 24 years old. Do I want to sell ladies' lingerie in Manhattan? I said, sure, I'll do that. So I moved up to Manhattan for a few years. I met my wife. We moved back down to Miami, and I got into the apparel business. So we were opening up factories in Mexico during NAFTA, and we were doing business with companies like The Limited, Ann Taylor, The Gap, JCPenney. And one day I needed some work for the factory, and I went up to Limited, and they had 1 million units. I told them I need that order to keep the factory busy. Mm. And they showed me, Mark, here's your price, and here's where China is landing it from. And I said that price that China's landing it from is a dollar less than my direct cost to make it.
Mm.
And they said, we know, that's why we can't give you the order. The next week I closed up my business because I knew I couldn't compete with China. So I joined NGC in 2002 to take advantage of this growing proliferation of people sourcing out of Asia, started developing software to help them do so.
And so for over 35 years, your firm has been delivering innovative solutions to fashion brands and retailers. Seems like they've been able to take advantage of your experience and expertise in these sectors. So tell us more about NGC and the services that you provide.
So that's true. NGC was started in 1982, and the owner of NGC at the time had factories in Haiti, and he wrote the software that ran the factory. So it was an ERP system to manage accounting and inventory. It was a shop floor control system to manage production. And then when that factory closed, he took the software and started NGC, and it was just mostly local, but then it started turning regional, as there were a lot of manufacturers back in the day. And then his factory started going overseas. People didn't want to own factories anymore. They wanted to just buy product. So we wrote a software that tracked from the time the PO is issued to the time the finished goods come back from the factory. So it gave full visibility into the supply chain. It was one of the first applications on the internet. So we could see what was happening with the production. Mm. It didn't go into a black hole. And that's really what launched the company.
Well, and from that launch, it seems like the company has just thrived and you've grown quite a bit. Tell us about moving forward, your vision as president. What's your vision for the firm?
Well, with that product that we originally built called ESPS, we wrote a product development piece called a PLM system on the front end. And that was very popular until about 2012. And then PLM, the market started becoming saturated. Mm. At the same time, we started coming out with a new software platform called Andromeda. It ran in the cloud. It was multi-tenant. We had a lot of customers on our legacy that we knew would want to go on to Andromeda. But it was really one session that I went to at a Microsoft conference that changed my whole outlook. Mm. Instead of looking at each module as a separate component where I had a PLM system and a supply chain system, I realized that it was an end-to-end solution from concept of a product all the way through delivery to a customer. So we started presenting it as a platform, and then with our sister company, Legility, they do the planning. So what's really become popular now is continuous planning, so plans are always changing, and then bring in Andromeda for connected execution. So you have one system that's making the decisions and another system that's making sure that they're happening out in the world. And with those going back and forth, it really has put us in a unique position to capture the market.
So I like the end-to-end from concept to delivery. You know, a comprehensive solution. Fantastic. So y'all have no shortage of accolades as well. I want to share a couple and see if we can't get the story behind them. So late last year, NGC was named a leader in 19 categories in 2019 RIS Software Leaderboard. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about the story behind that.
So when I took over the sales and marketing side at the same time we had one of my compatriots, Fred Eisenberg, he became co-president. He was in charge of development execution, customer service, and professional services. Mm-hmm. He made it a mantra of his. He made it his golden rule to satisfy the customer. Customer satisfaction became our number one focus. And 5 years ago, we were never listed on the RIS News Leaderboard. Mm. It wasn't until Fred and his team started doing such a wonderful job taking care of our customers that we started slowly but surely making it onto the leaderboard. At this point in time, we're always listed in the top 10. And the leaderboards, on average, they interview 500 or 600 users of different software applications, and they only display the top 10. Mm. So I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, it's not a it's not just a blue ribbon, you know, popularity contest. They're diving down deep, talking to the folks that you're doing business with, and really giving those accolades to the folks that deliver.
Correct. Yeah, that's correct.
So shifting from organizational accolades, let's talk about something that you were bestowed, Supply and Demand Chain Executive Pro of the Year, not pro to know, mm-hmm. Pro of the Year from the collection of folks they recognize. You stand out above it all.
Right, and that was really a surprise to me, and I really, again, have to leave it up to the team. They really earned it. I remember laying in bed in Hong Kong, and I was having jet lag, and I was laying in bed like at 3 in the morning, and I got an email saying that I won Pro of the Year, and I really didn't know what that meant until I remembered that they had nominated me for Pro to Know. Mm. And then they interviewed me, and it was really based on the vision for what I call a cognitive supply chain platform. Mm. We talked a little bit about how our Andromeda execution solution can integrate with planning and optimization systems. Now you start throwing in artificial intelligence that can help make those decisions. And once you start seeing the convergence of blockchain and IoT coming in, really, there's too many options for a human being to make a decision.
Right.
I was presenting the other day to a really large fashion brand, global fashion brand, and I showed them a slide that had so many decision points on it. Mm. They have a big office in Hong Kong. I said they could hire half a Kowloon, and that won't get them to where they need to be. Mm. The system has to be intuitive and help make those decisions.
Fantastic. Pro of the Year. What a neat recognition. So let's shift gears a little bit here, and you've touched on some of the supply chain trends that you're all tracking. But if you had to boil it down to two or three priority items that you're tracking more than others, what would some of those be?
I would say the biggest current initiative is vendor compliance, because you need to know your vendors are sustainable, they're helping the community, they're helping the world, they're hiring a diverse employee base, they are supporting the communities that they live and work in. So that's been one big, and everybody is concerned. I don't care the size of the company. So we have customers that pride themselves on being good corporate citizens.
Do you feel that there is more contingency planning now than there was even just a couple of years ago?
Contingency from what aspect?
Just different scenarios, natural disasters to supplier risk mitigation to, you know, the unforeseen things that come up in supply chain.
Oh, yeah, 100%, because there's so much visibility and there's so much demand for success. The fact that we have a hurricane in Miami doesn't mean that I can't support my customers. Mm. So we have disaster recovery sites. Everybody has dual sourcing. One of the big issues that's happened over the last 6 months has been the fear of tariffs on Chinese product. Mm. So I was in an event. I'm on the board of the AAFA, the American Apparel and Footwear Association. Huh. And I'm on the planning committee for the executive summit. And for the last 6 months, all we've been talking about is everybody's coming in and going to talk about what's happening with tariffs.
Right.
And 2 weeks before, I guess, Trump met with the Chinese leaders and said, I don't need to do any tariffs. So that that whole premise fell through the roof. We lost about three of our presentations because it didn't matter anymore. And we'll see. It could come back tomorrow.
Well, so I got to give a shout out to Will Haraway, who's part of our one of our co-hosts for our hashtag Supply Chain City series on Supply Chain Radio. We're really focusing on Metro Atlanta. And he's been banging the tariff drums. One of his favorite topics to talk about. And for a while, to your point, that was headlines daily. And, you know, we've all had, and I know with your client base, I had meeting after meeting with manufacturers that didn't have that certainty. And they were trying to issue price changes or not issue price changes. You know, what do we do? So hopefully we get more, you know, go ahead.
No, I was going to say reduction of uncertainty. Yes. Because if it goes one way or the other, everybody knows what to do. It's stuck in the middle.
Amen.
In no man's land that we don't know what to do, and everybody just freezes.
That's right. Absolutely. So what else? You know, so vendor compliance, certainly trade and tariffs. What else are some of these supply chain trends you're tracking more than others?
So what? I mean, speed to market is a big issue. So everybody thought, well, you know, a lot of the time is spent in the development cycle, and it's true. A lot of time is spent in the development cycle. But in order to truly have speed, you have to go through the linear progression of manufacturing. You have to start with raw materials, then you have to issue production orders, put it through the factory, ship it. So there's ways that could save more time on the back end. So I have customers that are positioning materials now, especially in fashion and apparel. There's fabrics. So rather than waiting 8 to 10 weeks to place an order for fabric, the companies are now positioning fabrics. So I'm taking my core fabrics, my core colors, making sure they're available. As I issue POs to the factories, the fabric is available for them. I have one customer that took their PO to X factory lead time from 17 weeks down to 4 weeks.
Wow.
I also have customers that have global brands. So when they issue a PO now, they typically issue a PO 6 months out for delivery to, let's say, the West Coast DC. What they're starting to do is wait to the last minute to decide what to make, and then wait to the last minute to decide where to ship it. So if you have a brand that's sold in 140 countries, 6 months ago I might have thought the West Coast needed it, but now when they're about to ship, Japan, France, and UK need it. I want to make sure they get the product.
Yep. Speed the market. But that impressive 17 weeks to 4 weeks lead time, that is really doing something. So let's shift gears once again here. So NGC, of course, is one of the hosts of the Velocity Conference. I'm sure you've been to numerous of these. What's your favorite aspect around an event like this, the Velocity Conference?
It's got to be meeting with our customers. I mean, everybody that comes, I mean, we're so happy with our customer base, and they're equally as happy with us. That it just becomes a really great way to express what we're doing and how that dovetails into their needs. So we've been giving presentations all day yesterday, all day today, and we're getting a lot of interest in some of the new stuff that we're doing, which just reinforces the direction we're going.
Absolutely, and I've heard good things about the conference in general, but the Solutions Cafe, which I think is somewhere here. We're getting here to talk shop, share ideas, challenges, the whole nine yards. What other trade shows are on your radar this year?
Well, the NRF was really big, so we were out there. We had a lot of traction, and we, again, the AAFA, the Executive Summit, we had 200 leaders of the largest fashion companies in the world show up for this, and it tends to be more of a networking event also. I believe that I'm going to do the product innovation event, which is in New York. And then, of course, one of my favorite events is the Sourcing Journal Annual Summit, which is in New York. And we tend to be the diamond sponsor of that. And we know the publisher of the magazine and website, and we have a really great relationship.
Fantastic. So, Mark, how can our listeners get in touch with you or learn more about NGC?
Oh, that's easy. They could go to our website, which is ngcsoftware.com. They could email me anytime they like. My email is markb@ngcsoftware.com. And our phone number is 800-690-0642.
Love that. So we've been talking with Mark Burstein, president of NGC, and thanks so much, Mark, for sitting down with us. We wish you continued growth and success with your firm.
Thank you so much, Scott. Appreciate it.
So to our listeners, stay tuned as we're going to be continuing to interview a variety of supply chain leaders like Mark as we continue our coverage of the Velocity Conference 2019 here in Orlando. You can find all of our interviews at supplychainnowradio.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Podcasts, and soon to be Stitcher. Next few days, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again very soon. All right, Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome back to the show. Today we've been broadcasting live from beautiful Orlando, Florida, home of Velocity 2019, one of the rock and roll supply chain trade shows that you just can't miss each and every year. We've been chatting with a variety of supply chain leaders today, and this is our cleanup session, our third and final segment of our third episode here at Velocity 2019. And we're really pleased here at Supply Chain Now Radio to be closing today's broadcast with Glenn Pascarell, Senior Vice President for Merchandise Planning and Market Analysis with Citizen Watch America. Hey, good afternoon, Glenn.
Good afternoon, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you.
What a day. This has been day two of Velocity 2019, and it's been, at least on our end, between what we've experienced and the feedback we've gotten, what a great event thus far.
Very exciting. A lot of different presentations, companies, industries. Always great to meet new people.
Absolutely.
And yourself too, Scott.
Well, Glenn, and vice versa. I'll tell you what. And I know you're not presenting here, but you present quite a bit. We'll talk maybe take a little deeper dive into one of the upcoming events where you are presenting. But so where did you travel here from?
So I flew in from New York.
Okay. And that's where you live and work, right?
I live right outside of New York. We are in the Empire State Building. A few floors below the observation deck.
Wow.
No, we're on the 29th floor. But but we have a good view anyway.
Still, yeah. What an American icon, and to work in a building like that, it's got to be just I bet folks are asking you stories all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I work for a watch company, so we go to Baselworld every year in Switzerland. And a few years back, Bulova advertised on the back of the Baselworld magazine, an iconic picture of the Empire State Building, and poof, before you know it, we're in the same building.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So Citizen Bulova, we're all together now, one big happy family.
So tell us more, before we take a deeper dive into Citizen Watch America, tell us more about yourself and your personal journey.
I guess I started off as a forecast analyst way back when for Warner Lambert, mm-hmm. Their consumer healthcare division. And then got into a great company years later, VF Corporation.
Mm, yes.
I'm a stock owner as well as.
Well, you know, so we're based in Georgia, yeah. And I think VF's got a plan. Is it VF or ZF? Did you say
VF?
So okay.
It's Vanity Fair Corporation. They're huge. They're probably 13, 14 billion today. They were less than 2 billion when I worked there. Mm. They have imagewear, intimate apparel division, jeanswear. Vans, North Face. I know you know the brand, Scott.
Absolutely. All of them. In someone else's closet.
Okay. You're pointing towards your wife.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. To our listeners, thank you, Glenn. My wife, Amanda Luton, has been down here with us.
Nice to meet you too, Amanda.
She's been our producer today and tomorrow, so that's neat to have. So your background comes from those strong brands. I'm sure that serves you well with a company like Citizen Watch America, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I think that there's a lot of connections between apparel, the speed and the turnover, and watches, which are essentially like jewelry, or there's a fashion piece to it, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how long have you been with Citizen Watch America?
2005, so over 13 years.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Yeah.
And so before we talk about some of the things that has been going on, some of the opportunities that you've probably been navigating through, tell us more about the company itself.
Yeah, so when I started 13 years ago, we were a Citizen Watch Company of America, and that was Mexico, the UK, Canada, and the US, obviously, is the biggest piece of that. And we're the same today, same markets, but we have a multi-brand approach. So like a portfolio of brands that we're building, kind of like a Fossil. Or, you know, I love my old company, VF Corp.
Sure.
Always want to plug them. Eric Weissman came to New York and from JanSport and became our leader when I was in the intimate apparel division years ago. He became the CEO. And so we're on that track to build out brands, to acquire brands, to get into new areas, jewelry, one of them, and clocks. And so there's a lot of things going on.
Well, you know, so you've referenced your former company, VF, a good bit. What are is there a key lesson or common thread that your time there really taught you that you've been able to apply with your current organization?
Yeah, I'm glad you picked up that. No, it was a good foundation for the challenges that I would face later on. And the similarities in a good foundation I got in planning, how to approach forecasting, how to approach obsolescence, how to approach complexity. And more so today because of all the disruptions in our market. And you probably heard of a thing called smartwatches and the market itself. Amazon has been quite a disruptor.
Who's that?
It's with an A, Scott.
So some of the complexities that, you know, there's so much to digest in today's modern supply chain, but, there's also, you know, been some, growing pains. I know Citizen Watch America has gone through some restructuring, growing pains in many ways. Talk to us about that a little bit.
Oh yeah, really growing opportunities. So I mentioned before we acquired Bulova probably 8-9 years ago. And never fully integrated them into one company. So now we're in the same office. We have chief merchandiser, marketer, finance, operations that oversee all the brands. And I think that's ultimately a good thing. We're doing learning, you know, what's the best practice? Which side has the best approach?
Sure.
You know, same thing in planning, you know, looking over the wall to see what the other guys are doing.
Absolutely.
And we have Legility, so I feel pretty confident.
Well, you should.
Yeah.
We love Legility around here. Well, when you go through some of the acquisitions and you know, you kind of alluded to it with kind of, you said peering over the cubicle or into the next office, you know, how do you, even if you didn't integrate the operations and supply chain, how are you able to share and proliferate best practices so that this island of excellence is sharing, you know, what's working for them with, you know, their colleagues in one division over, so to speak?
Well, I'm very outspoken.
Okay. That's you got to start somewhere.
No, seriously, because when you have organizational change at that level, sometimes the reporting on both brands can be different and the roles and responsibilities can be different within. So it's been a real educational period from last October to the present to learn about how they approach planning and how they're different than we are, and you know, in part to meet with them very often and build the case from the planner up. You know,
building the case from the planner up, that might be a t-shirt.
You know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Like before we moved ahead 5 years ago at Legility, I had to know that the forecast analyst and the director was on board. You know, because they were doing Excel spreadsheets and they were like everyone.
Sure.
And I said, well, I'm not going to take this step without you, so you have to take it with me. And that's really important because they're going to be in the system every day, all day. I'm going to be running my reports and at a higher level, so you need that support.
Yeah. What's the there's an old saying, instead of applying the change to your team, they're part of building the plan, so they're much more engaged and you're able to move forward much more effectively and successfully and sustainably, probably, right? So let's shift gears a little bit here. What are two or three current supply chain trends that you're tracking more than others right now?
Well, I'll start with the market, maybe, if that's all right.
Yeah, sure.
So we have some big disruptions in our market. We're the number one mid-price watch brand. Mm. And so if you run, we have a syndicated data company we work with called MPD. They provide us market share data on our competitors and us. Mm-hmm. And so when you're number one for a long period of time, you're a big brand. And you have big brand problems sometimes.
Big brand.
Yeah, which is like if the category is being disrupted by other wearables, like smartwatches, mm-hmm. hybrid watches. I mean, even the consumer dollar being spent on experiences they're not going to buy physical
right.
as much as they would. And so you need to be smarter because it's more complex. You have to take share to grow and reach more people. So one of the things we've done is formed a strategic alliance with Disney. So that doesn't mean just making Marvel, Star Wars, Mickey Mouse watches, which we're doing, but we're also co-branded with them. We're in all the parks, all the clocks in the parks. We're using their creative assets to help us with our citizen promotions and marketing material.
Big move.
It's a big move, and it's a multi-year, and that's why it's called an alliance and not just a partnership or a contract. You know.
Sure.
And so that was a very big deal. And then the other is we formed an alliance with Fossil to use some of their hybrid watch technology, smartwatch, because we know we have to be in that area because of the disruption, the major disruption.
Hmm.
And I guess the other piece, as I mentioned, is how do you grow online with an e-commerce pure play like Amazon and protect the business you built over 30 years with your brick-and-mortar retailers.
Mm. No easy feat.
No, but challenging, and that's why we're here.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. That's why it's a good time to be in supply chain, right? Any other trends that you're tracking that you find really interesting and relevant to what you are doing at Citizen Watch America?
Oh, sure. So we developed an S&OP process on our side where we're using the Legility tool. They have a demand planning, inventory planning, and replenishment planning module. They all kind of work together.
Mm-hmm.
And they're already starting to use AI, artificial intelligence within the planning tools.
Mm.
And so that's pretty interesting because it's kind of like a machine learning. I know people throw these terms around, but what it means is having a machine go through and finding patterns that you don't want your planner all day to be trying to figure out, you know, because we're very action-oriented. I've been blessed because in my department, we do the demand planning, inventory planning, and the purchasing. Mm. So we can be very nimble. We can, we have an initiative, new demand. We just launched Disney. So we're tracking the sell-through by week, and then we can go turn around and place an order immediately. You know, so it's nice to have that luxury. A lot of companies don't have that.
Yeah.
But it's under one umbrella. And so that's that AI piece is very interesting to me. Because it's going to remove a lot of the algorithmic, repetitive, where you don't have time to deep analysis and allow you to the people to make more decisions. You know,
so it sounds like to me, if I can interpret what you're sharing, allow machines take on some of the decisions that they can make best, and it frees up your people's time to do more analysis, to do more strategic thinking, critical thinking. You know, bigger picture might move the bigger picture forward, right?
That's a good way to put it. I just did a webcast with Corinne, hosted by Supply Chain Quarterly, and it was about integrated business planning, and we talked a lot about that using, I always encourage forecasters, demand planners, to insinuate themselves in the strategic conversation that the organization is having about their brand direction, because you're in a really unique position where a lot of different pieces of data come together.
Mm.
And that's a good position to be in. You know,
especially in 2019, we're in the data-driven age, right?
I think all the best companies are data-driven. You know, I mean, you could just go down the S&P 500. You look at like a VF, you look at a company like Coach, like Citizen. We're all trying to understand the consumer better and then quickly translate that into something that's actionable.
Yep. So, so as we've mentioned, the first two days are basically over here at Velocity 2019. One more day to go.
Is that just one more day?
No,
I have
never
to go back to cold weather.
Yeah, that's right. Never just one more any ordinary day, but one more day of warm.
Should have stayed a few extra days.
Still can. Disney, you could go build some more alliances.
I don't know how my fiance would feel about that.
So any key takeaways from these first 2 days? What are some things that stand out, or if not, what's been your most enjoyable sessions you've been part of, maybe?
Yeah, well, I think Alan has been and Corinne very inspirational about the focus that's being put on supply chain now. It's I don't know, it has a certain sex appeal that we're all trying to make arguments within our organization to care about this thing called the supply chain planning. So much of the company's resources are used. The biggest budgets in their company are run by the planning groups. Mm. We don't talk about that. We talk about the marketing budget, and sometimes the focus is on those areas. So there's big. It's nice to know to hear that that there's a lot of change coming and a lot more focus, and that to stay number one and to be successful, we have to do the same.
Absolutely, seat at the table, unlike ever before. Supply chain has to see the table. And more folks, one of the things that seems to be a common thread in some of our last several weeks of interviews is that consumers are certainly making the connection more and more now, where they understand what enables an Amazon or any of the other folks that can get you things same day or 2 days. It's the supply chain that makes it happen.
That's right.
And better yet, the reverse logistics, when they want to return something and they want to do so in the easiest manner possible, most convenient manner possible. None of that can happen without a supply chain team that makes it happen.
That's right.
And it seems like now we're starting to really, the average consumer that may not be, we all don't know what we don't know, right? But your average consumer that may not be in that industry or may not be aware of that industry is starting to make that connection. And it's neat to see, having been in manufacturing and supply chain in my career, it's neat to see that happen.
We're not a company. We couldn't walk away like a Birkenstock, or I'm sure there's other examples. From Amazon, because when you're so big, you have to go where the consumer's going. And so if I think NPD said 65% of consumers are now shopping in both brick and mortar and online. That number's going up. Amazon sales are maybe 10% of all retail sales in America.
Wow.
So it's double digits. And so how do you do that in a smart way? That's the ultimate question.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And not an easy question to come up with a simple answer either. So what other trade shows? I know one you're going to be speaking at, but what else is on your horizon from a trade show standpoint this year?
Well, I'm going to go to the Gartner Supply Chain for the first time. Thank you, Corinne, for inviting me.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Corinne from Legility, Bursa. I'll be probably talking about integrated business planning there too.
Fantastic.
And then I don't know, the sky's the limit, I guess. You tell me, Scott, which one should I go to?
Well, so we're partial, and I don't want to get ahead of my skis here, because we're going to wrap up this episode on some upcoming announcements, including some trade shows we're media partners at. But we want to get you, Glenn, we ought to have you come down to Atlanta, the supply chain city. We have no shortage of trade shows and no shortage of supply chain infrastructure and leadership and thought leadership. So we'll have to get you to Atlanta sometime soon. But you're going to be speaking at the Gartner conference in Phoenix, right?
That's right.
Fantastic. And you said you're speaking on integrated IBF?
I'll probably do a similar presentation to the webcast, which is making better decisions faster. It's an integrated. It's really our S&OP approach and how our software and process helps us manage a huge budget.
this is a completely out of right field. But yeah.
First of all, I don't think everybody knew you skied. You said, I don't want to get ahead of my skis. So you're from Atlanta, but you ski. Okay.
Right. Poorly. Very poorly.
Like most of us.
Yeah. So I ski about as well as I dunk a basketball. Okay. So that's the image for you. So are you an Office fan? This is kind of out of right field, but are you
sure.
an Office?
Okay. Yeah.
So there's a great episode, and as hearing a lot of what you've spoken about today, making decisions faster, it keeps coming back to me. It's an episode where Dwight is taking on what he thinks is the new all Malcolm and the research team is trying to give me a
taking on the new website.
Yes. Uh-oh. So Dwight, the salesperson, is taking on the new Dunder Mifflin website
okay.
to drive sales.
Uh-huh.
And they go back and forth and back and forth with a tick board. And you know, it's the ultimate human versus machine episode. But, you know, kidding aside, that's kind of, you know, not that it's humans versus machine, because, you know, it's augmented intelligence and augmented, machine and technology can help supply chain professionals move forward. And going back to what we talked about earlier, by taking some of the mundane stuff away
right.
and enabling those supply chain professionals that want to do more, learn more, and become more strategic or advance their careers. But still, it at the end of the day, you've got this transformation and this conversion that's taking place. So,
no, that's true. I have a twin brother, but I don't think he's a robot. I think we're both people. But if you see somebody like me, doesn't say hi one day, just, you know, Scott, that could be David.
Yes.
But you know, the interaction between technology and the way we work as humans
yes.
is really important, and that is changing.
Absolutely.
You know, I think there's such a focus on the consumer to get the consumer what they want when they want it, but we have to transform the way we work to really do that.
Absolutely. I think in a industry, I'm going to talk very generally, in an industry like supply chain, where there's so much of that traditional activities that have to happen, right?
Yeah.
Dot the I's, cross the T's to get stuff moved. There's a lot of traditional stuff that has to happen. However, we've got to continue to embrace these new technologies that do allow us to work smarter and still working hard, but still do more with less and do more in less time. And, you know, and it's an ever going, you know, once you learn one technology, you've got to move on to the next one because it's rapid fire these days.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. You just triggered. We just implemented a new ERP system, which was a major overhaul. Mm-hmm. We're going to do the same thing with our Canadian affiliate. We have so many pieces of software that, including Legility, that work with the ERP system, Flint Fox, or to
it's whatever, not like
you know,
Dwight.
Pricing.
There's no competition. They're working
there's
together
no
on the same.
But I mean, Scott, there's literally so many of them. Zendesk, it boggles the mind how many different pieces of software we're using to help us manage our business, learn about the customer. Execute faster, more accurately, et cetera. It's the normal way of doing business. You know, I started in as a forecast analyst in 97.
Mm.
So you think about it, that's over 20 years ago. A lot has changed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Excel hasn't gone away. But
Excel's not gone away,
yeah,
no.
We were talking about that earlier with an earlier guest, how Excel is just, it's like... you know, it's like roaches they're not, it's not going to go away. It's so functional and it continues.
Well, it's just so flexible.
Yes.
It's like on the fly. It's like that old bike you go to. It's not the latest, but it's like, you know, it works.
Right. It keeps, yes. It keeps reinventing itself. So Phoenix is right around the corner. That's coming up in May.
Yeah.
So how can our listeners get in touch with you or learn more about Citizen Watch America?
Yeah, so, you know, of course, you can go to our website. We have a chief digital officer now, so we've really built out the website.
Fantastic.
And you can see our products and buy them, too. But they can reach out to me through LinkedIn. I'll be happy to respond or give advice. I kind of do a little mentoring.
Oh, fantastic.
I think I've been through... enough scenarios to be helpful to younger people that are, you know, facing issues or challenges.
Absolutely. And CitizenWatch.com is a website, and we've enjoyed sitting down here with Glenn Pascrell, Senior Vice President, Merchandise Planning and Market Analysis with Citizen Watch America. So, Glenn, thanks for your time. Stick around for a second here as we wrap up, because we're going to go through some of these events, and we do want to invite you down to Atlanta and show you our supply chain city. Have you been to Atlanta here recently?
I've been to Atlanta, not recently. Yeah, we used to be in Alpharetta, Georgia, when I was with, so not too far, but the greater Atlanta area, I guess.
Well, you know,
not recently. I would love for you to take me out.
Let's do it. Out of the 3,000 counties in the state of Georgia, which is close, I think 1,000 of them are considered metro.
Oh, Atlanta, there,
it seems like. But kidding aside, I think there's 226 counties in the state of Georgia, and, and there's a bunch. There's 29 counties that are, that make up technically the metro Atlanta area.
That's a lot of government.
It really is, left and right. So, again, we've been chatting here with Glenn Pascrell, Senior Vice President, Merchandise Planning and Market Analysis with Citizen Watch America. And to our listeners, this wraps up our third episode here at Velocity 2019. Today, we're going to conclude the session on a few final items. Upcoming, if you're in the Atlanta area or if you want to fly into the world's best airport to earn your supply chain certification, we've got our CSCP and CLTD boot camps through APEX Atlanta that are held at Georgia Tech. That kicks off again June 24th. We do those in the same, Glenn, we do this in the same week. We got 2.5 days for CSCP, 2.5 days for the CLTD. Some folks will fly in and go through both boot camps to be better suited for sitting for those exams through the APEX organization. So, next up, E-Commerce Operations Summit. It's going to be April 9th through the 11th in Columbus, Ohio. We're a proud media partner. You can learn more at operationssummit.com. The Association for Manufacturing Excellence is going to be holding its Atlanta 2019 Lean Summit, May 6th through the 9th. Speakers, plant tours, networking, all focused on the world of manufacturing. Again, we're serving as a media partner there. You can learn more at ame.org. We're a proud media partner of EFT's 3PL and Supply Chain Summit in Atlanta. That's a good one. June 10th through the 12th. Home run lineup of speakers, UPS, Land O'Lakes, Uber Freight, Cisco, DHL Supply Chain, many more. You can check out EFT.com for more information, or you can shoot us a note to scott@supplychainnowradio.com, and we will get you more information. We're broadcasting live from that event, and we've got a sponsor soon to announce, and looking forward to that. Big thanks to our guest today on this third episode here at Velocity 2019. Today's episode, this third one, Mark Balti with Legility, Mark Burstein with NGC, and Glenn Pascrell with Citizen Watch America. To our listeners, be sure to check out our upcoming events, replays of our interviews, other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, many other sources. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss anything. On behalf of Supply Chain Now Radio, this is Scott Luton wishing you a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time on Supply Chain Now Radio. Thanks, everybody.